Offline Podcast from the FIR Podcast Network.
The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudet.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudet, and today I'm speaking with Randy Kassar. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn. How's it going?
Fantastic. Well, notwithstanding a little challenge I had yesterday, but we won't get into that right now. Randy, tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So again, my name is Randy Kassar, and I work at a company called Voce Communications, which is a Porter Novelli company. And we're a PR and digital agency. I focus on the digital and social side, where we work a lot with clients on their social strategy, on their employee advocacy plans and outreach, as well as their personal brand training. So we kind of do the gamut of things, and that's kind of what I'm focused on. My background has been in digital and social since the mid-90s.
Oh, awesome. So what was it that first told you that social was going to be big for business?
Well, you know, my background, I first started in digital, so I was building and designing websites in the 90s. And back then, the only way you could really communicate digitally that customers actually were doing, there was this little link at the bottom of in the footer of every website, the contact us or the info@company.com.
Right,
and that's when I first started seeing people actually communicate with a brand, and you know, the website wasn't just another, you know, quote unquote book. It was something where people could actually communicate, and people were actually using it. Right, so that's where the first kind of community engagement really started happening for me. And then from a social perspective, you know, the notion of developer evangelism and community and social started happening in the early 2000s for me through discussion boards, through forums, and then social, as I guess as we know it now, started happening when I worked at Yahoo, when I was started there in 2005. So that's when Facebook started coming. MySpace was really big. And that's, I would say, you know, for everybody that's listening, probably the most common thing would be in the 2005 year.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's interesting because I the evolution of social has been, you know, we need to have a company profile, we need to do this.
Yeah.
And now where we're at, and I think you're doing a lot of work with your clients around this, is their employees now are starting to become not only socially active, which they may or may not have been in the past, but actually active on behalf of the company.
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed. I think the notion of an evangelist has changed over the years. I think back in the days, companies were afraid to have any employee speak on their behalf. There's always, you know, from a PR perspective, there's always the media trained people, and they
nobody else could talk about the company.
Nobody else could talk, right?
Yeah, exactly. I remember those days.
Yeah, but I think the reality is that people were already talking, whether they were online, whether it was in person. I mean, it just was a matter of fact. And so over the years, people have learned that the culture of trust within the company is something that actually employees actually strive to look for within a company when they're looking for a job. And once that culture is permeated from executive levels down, you start seeing that employees feel comfortable in sharing and want to feel like they're part of something bigger than just their normal day job. So that's what we've been seeing over the years, and how we've been helping train executives all the way to product managers, to developers, whatever it might be.
And I think it's pretty interesting, at least from our side, what we see is that a big impact for the employees is they start to generate a following unto themselves, and they become more influential themselves, even while they're doing this on behalf of the company. So there's really a win-win there. When you're working with your clients, what are those kinds of things that you kind of need to get your employees to either understand or do in the beginning, just even before they become part of the evangelist crew that you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the first steps, one is just, what do you want to be known for? You as an individual. So disregard the company and who you work for, but like, what do you want to be known for in the world out there, right? Because you as an individual, you have your own personal profiles, your LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever it might be. And you need to be comfortable with what you're talking about. And so that's the first thing. It's a really hard question, because some people are like, depending on which organization they come from, right? They could come from a sales background. They can come from a support background, from a marketing background. And I think the key thing is spend some time thinking about what your kind of career aspirations are and how that relates to your day job now. And if you kind of map those two together, and from a story perspective, that's what's going to get you there. And that will help you as an individual feel much more honest with yourself as you share the content out, whether it's the stuff that you believe in, whether it's the stuff that your company is a part of. Because in the end, you want to be yourself, right? You want to be as authentic as possible. And I think that's the key thing we talk about from a social strategy perspective.
So when you go into a client and you're dealing with a client, let's say with hundreds, thousands of employees, mm-hmm. how do you have the conversation you just had with me?
Well, I think it's a matter of one, understanding what the company objectives are. What are they trying to do? What is their goal? So sometimes we start off with maybe they're launching a product, and you need to get that evangelist who's perhaps built the product out there from a PR perspective, but also from a social perspective. Because the way that people build relationships and the way that they're going to get to their KPIs is by that individual who built the product, get them to be authentic in the way that they share content and really the kind of the behind the scenes. Because, for instance, we can take an example. If someone were downloading a piece of software, sure, you can have that nice, great page with all the feature bullet points and benefits. But if you're, say, selling to a developer, the developers are very don't like marketing, right? So they want to hear from people that have actually used it, from the people that actually built it. So that's where the employee evangelism, employee advocacy comes into play, and where people can really separate themselves from the marketing side of things of the corporate marketing speak to more of the personal brand and the way that they can build a relationship with the actual end user.
So now, how do you balance that? Because in very successful organizations who have these kinds of employee advocacy and engagement programs, they have employees that actually really like to share the content and consume the content. And then with others, it's a resistance, frankly, because of the content, because the company hasn't figured out the right content strategy yet. So what kind of guidelines or recommendations do you make for your clients to think about how to create content that the employees actually want to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key thing. You as an employee don't want to feel like you're being handled by the social media manager or the marketing person. You want to be known for sharing content that's authentic, that's you as an individual, and that you believe in. And so you're not hitting the retweet button, right? You are sharing something.
But sometimes a retweet is very appropriate, right?
I think sometimes it is, but at the same time, I would recommend people to actually add their own commentary towards it. Like, how were they involved in this particular product? Or what team, if they were part of a team, then congratulate the team that was a part of this, that built this particular product. So that's how I
But part of that is, you know, the ability to give them a starter, right? So like, you know, with Gaggle Amp, one of the things that we do when companies can package content up for their employees is also give them the ability to make edits to that so that they actually have kind of a foundation that they can work from. And a lot of people need that little starter to really understand what to say and maybe how to say it, or at least, you know, what's the link they should point them to, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, that works with whether an employee, whether you're dealing with a blogger, you want to be able to empower them, right? And I think empowerment is key from a content perspective. So employees, they want to share authentic content. They want to be able to have the ability to adapt it towards their channel, towards their network. They're the only ones that know their network and know their network best. And so I think that's would be the key thing is to give them, like you said, a starter point, have them be able to share it within certain guidelines. I think there's certain guidelines that you should have when you're starting off as an employee advocate. You know, you still need to adhere to all the social media guidelines that you set forth, as well as understanding what the product really is. Because if you're not part of that team that actually shared it, and you're starting to add your own particular perspective, that might not be the right fit for you.
Are you actively engaging employees to be part of your digital marketing efforts? Or are you looking to do so? Either way, you should plan on joining us at Amplify, the Employee Advocacy and Engagement Conference, which is being held in Boston, Mass. On June 15th through the 16th in 2017. Amplify brings together the leading practitioners who are amplifying their company's digital marketing efforts by leveraging and coordinating the efforts of fellow employees. The conference includes powerful case studies, panels, and thought leader sessions. As an Amp Up Your Social Media listener, you also get access to 20% off the conference pass by using promotional code AMPUP. That's A-M-P-U-P. Visit attendamplify.com to register and to learn more about this conference. Now back to our show.
Right.
So is there a sense of, I don't know, some guideline or some format that companies should be thinking about when they're thinking about sharing content with employees to share?
That's a good question. I think there are some best practices that you follow in terms of what employees would more likely share. I think it's a lot of the how-to articles. It's a lot of the kind of behind the scenes. If they are sharing something that's part of a bigger marketing campaign, the content needs to be resonate with their audience. So if you as an employee, sorry, as a say a social media manager that's trying to run this advocacy program, you need to put some thought into what type of content works best and what type of format works best. So, you know, I usually have a mix of, say, a blog post that was written by an employee and have that as a good marketing, as a good piece of content. And then maybe a video that goes along with it. And then maybe a tweet that could go along with it. So I think as long as you give people the opportunity to share the content that they feel is right for their network, then you'll be in good hands.
Yeah, I think that there's a really interesting thing that a lot of companies forget about. So they get really excited about getting employees involved.
Yeah.
And they get really excited about having them share content. But a lot of times they forget about the other aspects, you know, social media engagement itself. So it's not just about sharing, but it's also, it's about following certain people. It's about responding to certain content that other people have put out there. So What kinds of conversations do you have with clients around that? Because I know just constantly putting out content and not having some sort of an engagement strategy to surround that, I think is short-lived.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think engagement is kind of key towards whether you're an employer, whether you're a company brand. So there is a good mix of original content as well as curated content. And then there's a mix of content that can really engage with your audience. So if there's opportunities to ask questions to your community, that always works well. If you have a community yourself in terms of a forum, you can always include that within a particular content for your advocacy program. And that can kind of jumpstart a conversation. Also, the content that you create that kind of jumpstarts it, whether it's a video, whether it's a podcast like we're doing now, that always works well and can get people to start thinking about it. And then lastly, I think it's a matter of really trying to figure out just the best way to create the content that's for the employee. I think I said this already, but if you can find a way to get them to amplify certain content in a way that makes it authentic and makes sense to the community, then they're going to get the engagement through natural means.
Yeah, and I think that's another area that companies need to at least prepare for and set their own expectations. You're not going to have 100% of your employees do anything.
No.
So why would you expect 100% of your employees to share every piece of content that you want them to share, right? Yeah. It's just not going to happen. And you can't set your success criteria to say, well, if this piece of content wasn't shared by 100%, then I failed. No. Quite the opposite. If you get 10%, 20%, 40% to share that, the act of sharing is the power of it. And so do you see that with some of your clients in terms of just make sure that you level set expectations?
Yeah, I mean, the KPIs are definitely something that we talk about early on. I think by having an advocacy program, the stats show that it is going to be a higher click-through in terms of the content because these employees have a very engaged network already.
Right.
So that's without a doubt. But in terms of just setting expectations early on is definitely key, and you hope that it's a long story, right? I mean, for any employee that's starting an employee advocacy program, if they're new to social and they're just getting ramped up, it's not going to be something that you'll start seeing results right away, right? So I think you need to build up that personal brand that so that person can feel authentic, can feel trusted, and is not just someone just retweeting stuff, but actually is engaging like we were talking about before. So you definitely need to give that advice and counsel to the employee to not just go in and just like share, but to be able to empower them to feel like they can actually engage with other people that they're meeting, right? Because all this is it's a community. So they need to feel like it is a community that they can actually engage with.
So I'm curious from your agency perspective, and I'm going to ask you to put your agency hat on around this, which is if I'm a company, when do I think about using an agency versus doing it myself?
I would say the strategy portion is really important. And not just from an employee advocacy program, but how does employee advocacy fit within your overall PR program? It is one of the channels, and it's something that should be thought of early on and not be brought on after the fact just because some other company is doing it.
Right.
So I think that's where we can come in, and we can take a look at the data and insights of your current program and how that can affect your employees and the overall advocacy program, whether it's employees, whether it's salespeople, whether it's external partners, whatever the advocacy program might be. So that's how we can help and how we can really use the data insight to make a better decision on not just starting a program or not, but also what employees are out there that are already doing it and how are they doing it? How are they being successful? Or how are they not being successful? And how can this content that we're building for them, how can that help them achieve what they want to achieve?
Yeah, I think that's a powerful thing about having an external voice as part of your team to come in and give you perspectives, not about your existing company, but maybe what some other companies are doing as well and what learnings people got from that. So I think that's pretty powerful. Randy, as we wrap things up here, I always like to ask if there was one thing that our listeners could put into action today that would really impact their social media marketing, what would that one thing be?
I think everybody here has a personal brand. Whether they feel like they're an introvert or extrovert, I think people need to realize that your personal brand is being searched on, whether by your evangelists out there, your customers, your peers. And so the first thing that I would do is optimize your LinkedIn profile. Something as simple as that. Go to LinkedIn, get your good mugshot up there, get a good headline, get your good summary, add some links to it, right? It's an interactive resume. For most people, they don't realize that when you search for, say, an executive's name, that's usually the first thing that comes up is your LinkedIn profile.
Right.
And as journalists, as customers are looking to make real big business decisions on whether to purchase a product or not, they also look at who's behind the company. And that's where we always recommend that people take a look at their executives and their LinkedIn profiles and their personal brand and make sure that those are updated with a sense of with a human touch to it as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would recommend to anybody listening to this podcast, to start with that. And to put some thought into how others are looking at you from a kind of a Google search perspective, if you will.
Yeah, if you're using a browser like Chrome or something, go into the equivalent of an incognito mode.
Yeah.
Because when you search in yourself as yourself, you don't always see the same thing that somebody from outside of you and your company would actually see. So I think that's a great idea. Randy, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, you search for my name on the interwebs. that's definitely will come up. But yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. You can also go to Voce Communications website. That's Voce, V-O-C-E, communications.com or porternovelli.com. And then lastly, I'm on Twitter at DJ Kassar. You can find me there.
Awesome. Awesome. Randy, thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. Let me take a minute to tell you about a special offer we have for Amp Up Your Social Media listeners. Have you leveraged the power of your employees to share your social media? With Gaggle Amp, you can make it easy to amplify your marketing efforts through your employees and track the effectiveness of your employees' efforts. Gaggle Amp is the employee social media amplification solution used by leading organizations of their field. This includes CA, DocuSign, HubSpot, Marketo, LinkedIn, PepsiCo, The United Way, and many, many more. Get twice the normal free trial period by visiting gaggleamp.com/ampup. That's gaggleamp.com/ampup. Get your extended free trial of Gaggle Amp today.